Second Kings. And in the book of Second Kings, I'm going to read for you a passage of scripture found from verse 8 until the Spirit tells me to stop. I will not read the entire book. So 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 8 upward for a bit longer. The Bible says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God said unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. He telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchambers.' And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he horses and chariots and great host, that they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And then he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" And the final verse I'll read for you now. "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah." I feel very blessed to be here with you all in the presence of God's children in this church. Indeed, it's lovely to see so many of you. Also lovely to see you, Sister Karen. I was having a laugh with her and saying I'm very fortunate to see her today, because sometimes when you come around, she's on God's mission at other places. While sitting down and listening to your testimony, my sister, for those of you who know me and know what I love to get up to on a Friday night on our online platforms at Luton Central on Wednesday nights and at other times, I love to pray. And the Lord has just spoken to me and said, we need to pray this morning. Before you begin this morning, Errol, the Lord is just saying to me, prayer is the most part an untapped resource, an unexplored continent where untold treasures remain to be unearthed. And I just have the feeling this morning, Pastor Bernie, that there's someone else who's coming this morning with a burden on their heart who need to leave here free. We go to churches sometimes where we spend an hour listening to the message and we've come in with burdens that we need lifting. And we leave there with the burdens sometimes because the message hasn't reached us and it's not connecting with us. I'm not going to ask you to leave your seat where you are. I'm just going to ask you to indicate to me this morning if there is something, you don't have to tell me what, unless you feel the need, I want to come up and share. But put your hand up if this morning you are saying, please, can I have a prayer this morning? Please pray for me. It might be a situation you are going through. It might not be even you. It might be your friend or a friend of a friend, someone you know who is going through something or experiencing something. Or maybe no one in your family's experience or in your circle of influence is having that experience. But there is someone you have a burden for on your heart to accept the Lord. Maybe someone once walked with him and is no longer walking with Christ, and you have that burden on your heart. This morning, I just want you to pause with me for a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to pray where you are, because so many times we come in and it's only the one prayer or the two prayers, but I want you to pause where you are. And you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to stand. You can remain seated. Prayer is not posture. We close our eyes to lock out distraction. You don't even have to open your lips, because God can understand what's on your mind. I'll give you a few minutes, and then I will pray. Just wonderful in the silence where we can listen to God. Father in heaven, your people are sitting here, Lord, in the need of you. There are individuals, Lord, who are here who have burdens that they've been carrying for years. There are people, Lord, who are sitting here who can't put their hand up because they don't want to be judged by anyone else. And Lord, they may be feeling under pressure this morning because I've asked them to put their hands up. I've asked them to indicate that they would like someone to pray for them. But Lord, you know their very hearts. This morning, Lord, I'm praying that that husband that's been wayward, that this morning as we pray that he will turn around and return to that which you have joined together. Lord, today I'm praying also for that wife who may not be here, that sister, that brother that's going through that struggle at this moment. The family, Lord, that may be sitting here and wondering about their school fees or their rent or some other bills that have come on their doorsteps. The family that is sitting here whose heart is heavy for that child or those children who once came to Sabbath school and enjoyed the children's stories, participated in Pathfinders in church activities, but they are no longer here. This morning, Lord, I'm praying for that individual who the doctor has written off. Because, Father, I know you are in the business of saving and still in the business of healing. Still in the business of working miracles. Lord, we have prayed for many, and you've heard our prayers. You've answered them in your own time. Today, dear God, I'm putting that individual who has been still feeling pain in here. Emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain. And Lord, I'm praying today that you will release all these struggles. As we name it, Lord, and we claim it by faith today. Lord, I'm praying for those people who are experiencing uncertain futures, not sure which way to go, not sure what to do, not sure if they should go forward or stay back. Lord, I'm praying for that person today who is in the valley of indecision as well, whether they should give their life to you or not. Give up all that they have known and all that they have become used to. Put them behind and follow you. And this morning, our Father, because we know that there is joy in serving you. There's great rewards in giving our life to you. We're praying for that individual, Lord, that they will let go and let you. Today, Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit fall down upon each and every one of us in this church today, Lord, that when we are leaving here, others will see a difference in us. Others will hear the difference in our voices, and may our life never be the same again, but may we be closer drawn to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let all of God's children everywhere say amen and amen and amen. I have a habit as well of inviting you at the end of the service when all is finished, not to come to the altar, but to find me if you need extra prayers. I love praying for people and praying with people. And if it is what I can do, I can talk to my Father for you. According to the online library, Learning Center, it is said that the internet was invented on the 1st of January, 1983. I don't know how many of you knew that, but it was a long time ago. Or maybe you can't believe that's when the internet was invented. This internet was supposed to be an opportunity to connect computers across the world so that they could communicate with each other. Today, the internet is so powerful that there is a whole generation of people who cannot imagine life without the internet. But I know in Hemel right here, there's a generation of us who knew what life was like before internet. There are some of us who can relate to telegrams and love letters that we wrote. We didn't do texting. We had to write it all out by hand. And we had the gift of calligraphy, which is the gift of forming our letters appropriately and neatly in various styles. But even though we have this great tool, the internet, to connect with each other, there has never been a time in Earth's history when we have so many disconnected people. Many people today are friendless. Many people today are selfish more than ever before. Many people today are more callous than ever. Many people today are more depressed than they have ever been before. Many people, even with the existence of FaceTime and video calls and the opportunity to drive fast cars and get there on time to meet up and to make connections, are living more lonely than they have ever lived before. In fact, people have become so cold and more distant than more connected. It doesn't surprise me though, because everything we see happening around us, the Bible has predicted that this would happen. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says that this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. It outlines here saying, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such, turn away. In other words, be avoiding these things. If you've ever witnessed any of these that I've just read for you from 2 Timothy, then you stand here to say there is evidence that we're living in a disconnected world. From humanity sinned in the Garden of Eden, a disconnection took place with mankind. According to the spirit of prophecy, once there was a time when human beings walked with God in Eden, and with open face he beheld the glory of the Lord and talked with God and Christ and angels in paradise, without a dimming veil between. Man then fell from his moral rectitude, it says, and innocency was driven from the garden, from the tree of life, and from the visible presence of the Lord and his holy angels. It clearly means that there was a time when we were connected so closely with God that we actually, humanity, was able to have one-to-one time, face time with God. But this is to indicate that there's a disconnection that has taken place, because this is no longer something which we see happening. I grew up in a place called Jamaica, a beautiful island. And I think many of you know where that is, in the Caribbean. And if you've never known of it, I can tell you about it and recommend it for a lovely visit and for a honeymoon and all the above. But there was a time when I grew up without electricity. In the village that I grew up, I didn't have electricity until I was 20 or so years old. And I remember there was a time when I would become disconnected by my lamp that I had lit, which had oil in it. I could be disconnected if that oil ran out, if I didn't time it well and knew that I need to top up my oil. And then when I got electricity, my neighbors sometimes and some people around in the areas would sometimes be disconnected because they haven't paid their bills. Their electricity would be cut off, and the night after it is cut off, they would be in darkness because some of them got rid of the lamps that they used to have before. The things you would see visibly with the electricity, you were unable to see them in the darkness, because now there is no more light for you to connect with. It brings my mind to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, where the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he said something interesting to Eve. And that's always amazed me, because God had given them strict instructions about what they should be doing. But here comes the devil in the form of the serpent and saying to her that, "For God know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." And that, for me, was a lie. Because not only was her eyes closed to God from the moment she ate of that fruit, but she was now spiritually blinded. And Satan passed on that lie to her, and that spiritual blindness has continued down the generations. I want us to look back at the scripture which I enjoyed reading for you this morning from the book of 2 Kings. And when you find it, you can mark this, because I'm going to spend a bit of time here before we finish. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8, it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp." I want you to recognize that the devil is like the king of Syria, you could say. He's warring against God's people, because the Bible says our enemy, let's call him our enemy, the devil, he goeth about as a roaring lion, looking for someone who he may devour, looking for an opportunity to finish off someone, our adversary. And the king of Syria, he warred against Israel, God's people. And he took counsel with his servants, saying, "We're going to make a camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, saying unto the king of Israel, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for the Syrians are come down." It is a good thing to have godly parents. It is a good thing to have godly influences in your life and around you, and to be surrounded by people who are godly people. Because if the king of Israel did not have this man of God with him, he could have gone in the wrong place. Godly people can give you godly counsel. Many times when we face challenges, we sometimes seek the counsel of those who have no connection with God. And the advice that we are given will lead to more pain and disagreement and discouragement, Elisha had a connection with God, so God was able to communicate with him personally. And when God communicated with Elisha, he shared this with him to say to him, tell the king of Israel not to go to this place. Don't go to that place. There's danger there. I want you to recognize that God still speaks today through his words. He writes his words here for us, and he speaks to us through his prophets, who will speak to us and give us admonition so that we are aware of where we should go, what we should do, what we should eat, and what we should be. In verse 10, the Bible says, and the king of Israel, he sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. The king of Israel was confident and comforted by the words of the prophet. And I get the feeling that the king of Israel may have been reading Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. You know what the Bible says. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Why? Because this is the heritage of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria, the heart of the king of Syria was now troubled. He was troubled because he found himself in a situation where he was trying to figure out who is for me and who is against me. So he called his meeting with his men to find out who is speaking against me. I want you to recognize, my friends, when you obey the words of God, and when you obey the word of the prophets of God, the words that God has spoken through those who are connected with him, your enemies will be troubled. There is a saying that says, if God says it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. Many times we read it, but then we question it to the point that it leads to our detriment. I'm not saying we shouldn't question, but if God says it, we should believe it, and that should be good enough for us. But one of his servants said unto the king of Syria, he said, is not any one of us here, but it is Elisha, the prophet in Israel, that telleth the king of Israel the words that you even speak in your bedchambers. I became excited by this when I read this. I was delighted to come and see Alan doing the lesson study this morning. I was delighted to hear you share those words. And I was reading this and I thought, wow, this is powerful. It was literally yesterday I was reading this and doing some Bible studies with someone. And I came across this and I thought, wow, this is amazing. When you are connected to God, he allows you to have access to the power that is available. I think I'll repeat slowly. When you are connected to God, he allows you to have access to the power that is available. You see, one of the incommunicable attributes of God is his omniscience. Let me break that down to you. Incommunicable means it's an attribute which cannot be imparted or cannot be shared any further. It belongs to God because he is God. The other ones being that he is omnipresent and he is omnipotent. He is God. But something interesting struck me here, Pastor Bernie, because the prophet Elisha knew what the king of Syria was saying in his bedchambers, in his private space. That is serious. And when I'm saying this to you because it's only literally After 6 years today, I'm doing this Bible study, and I was looking at this, and I thought, wow, God, this is amazing. You are omniscient, and Elisha is almost like he's omniscient now. He knows what people are thinking. He can hear them a mile away, however many miles away. And so the Bible says in Psalm 139, is that God knows your thoughts. It says, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. Thou art acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." That's what the Bible says about God. And Elisha was now demonstrating a similar quality, that he knew what the king of Syria was up to and what he was saying. God somehow have a way of allowing his prophets to have access to a portion of this attribute because they are connected. In verse 13 of chapter 6 of 2 Kings, the Bible says, "And he said, go and spy where Elisha is, that I may fetch him. As it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." When you are connected, my brothers and my sisters, my friends in Himmel, when you are connected, the enemy will use the ambush mode to attack. He cannot face you boldly anymore because he knows that he is a defeated foe. He will attack your finances. He will attack your families. He will attack your health. He will attack your relationship. He will attack you, your church. He will use even folks within the church to offend you and to distress you and to discourage you. But when you are C-O-N-N-E-C-T-E-D, connected to God at the heart, the words of Psalm 91 become real in your life. Because he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou what? Trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. How many? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the Most High God thy habitation. There shall no evil befall you, Himmel, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling." Think about the children of Israel back in Egypt. The plague did not come nigh their dwelling because they are connected with God at the heart. Because he says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder." Those of you who are from certain parts of Africa, you know about the adder, and you know about those dangerous snakes, and you know about lions, which those of us from this side of the world are not as familiar with. "The young lion and the dragon you shall trample under your feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." What an amazing promise that God has given to us, those who want that connection with him. I could go on and read even more, Because there's verse 16 which says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But I want to pause and finish off very shortly. In verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says, and when the man, the servant of the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. Pause for a moment and think about this. Would you have done any different from this servant if this was to happen to you? That an army surrounded your dwelling with horses and chariots. That was the tank of their time that they would be using these. They were the weapons of mass destruction they had at their times. That was the bombs that they had in their times. They surrounded you. You're cornered. And his servant ran in back to the master and said, to Elisha and said, alas, master, how shall we do? In other words, how are we going to get out of this today? You can say it in whatever language you wish. Are we going to get out alive? But the beauty about this is, a man connected to God like Elisha, he says, fear not. He said, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I love that one you just posted. Don't be afraid, for they that be with us are more than they that are with them. It might have startled and might have puzzled the servant, because he probably looked around and thought, there are only two of us in here. So what do you mean by that? You know, in mathematical terminology, that's going to not work out right. You're going to end up with a negative number, that those who are out there, and a negative number suggests that you're going to die. You're going below zero. But he answered and he says, when you're connected, I want you to recognize this, my friends. When you are connected, you see, he says, fear not, when you are connected, you know that according to the scriptures that we find in Psalm chapter 34, verse 79, the angels of the Lord encamp it round about them that fear him. And he don't just encamp, it delivereth them. And the invitation is then given to the rest of us who might be on the periphery. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Today I'm calling somebody to come with me, like my sister trusted in the Lord and he healed her. I'm calling to someone today who may have been sitting down in the valley of indecision, someone who is not quite sure if God will come through for you. There is living testimony that God will come through for you today. And if you don't know about it, I can tell you, every single one of us is a testimony that God can deliver. The fact that you're awake and alive today is testimony that he has been working on your behalf. It says, the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Elisha turned to his servant and says, don't be afraid, fear not. I once learned this, that fear means false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. And Elisha turned that round to his servant and said, yeah, don't worry. Whatever you see out there is false. It's not real. It's not any use to us. And Elisha did something amazing, which I want to conclude with you today to do. To pray that the Lord will open our eyes. Because when our eyes are closed, we can only imagine. You're not able to see and to envision what's happening, the reality. And he said, I pray thee that you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord answered and opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, what he could not see initially. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. In the book Great Controversy, page 512 and 513, it tells us that angels are appointed to each and every one of us. And that these angels appointed to us have access, direct access to Christ. The book Truth About Angels, if you've never read that one, another exciting one you could read. And it tells us the important roles angels play in our lives and sustaining us. And when you recognize how the angels of the Lord have been standing in the gap for you and protecting you, it will just make you love God even more. You weren't lucky to get out of that accident. It's because the angels of the Lord moved something in your way. You weren't lucky to be saved when the doctors said there was no hope. It's because the angels of the Lord performed their own operation on you. You weren't lucky when you recovered. It's because the Lord sent those angels from heaven with medication that you could not even recognize you were taking. But the Lord has provided this for each and every one of us. I want to just pause as I finish off today and say to you, even though the servant of Elisha was in his presence and probably saw the axe head floated in the water, which the children heard about this morning, even though he saw multiple miracles and experiences, his eyes were closed. His spiritual eyes were not open. His faith, I believe, was weak, even though he witnessed those miracles. He was fearful of being surrounded by enemies. He needed the prophet to intercede on his behalf that his blinded eyes be open. He needed the prophet to intercede that he be reconnected, because somehow he had become disconnected. And once God had reconnected him, he was able to see what was initially invisible to him. I wonder if we're in a similar position today. I wonder if many of us here are in a similar position. Have we been coming to church week after week as mere formality? Have we been listening to sermons and occasionally reading our Bibles and praying the shortest prayers, which isn't even coming from the heart? Frequently crying out in fear and desperation when the enemy surrounds us with various forms of attack. But a check of our spiritual switch may reveal that we have been disconnected at the heart. I have good news for you this morning. Good news for you today. You can be reconnected. Jesus, the Son of the Living God, he came to this earth as a baby, born to a human being, lived a sinless life, was crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb, rose up from the grave like he said he would, and has gone back to heaven to prepare a place for you and me. But if we're going to inherit and achieve this place, we need to be reconnected with him. This morning, I want to say to you, to be connected, you have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior from sin. To be reconnected, you have to give your life to him. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, which we're a part of, it believes that Jesus is the only way through which you can receive salvation. One songwriter says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other, because Jesus is the way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heavens given by which men can be saved. His life, his death, and resurrection secures our salvation. Once you have accepted Jesus, it is possible for you to live a sinless life. And communicating with God through our prayers unite us with him and connect us with him. When you pray, it opens your spiritual eyes. And this morning, I want to pray with you again, because maybe there's somebody here who has become disconnected You were connected and you have become disconnected. Maybe there's someone here who has never had the connection of Christ. Maybe there's someone here who has been connected, but your battery is running low. I want to pray with you this morning before we go, that God will open your spiritual eyes so that you can realize that there's more with us than that are against us. So I invite you this morning to stand with me, this afternoon as it is, to stand with me. As we stand together, as I promise, I will not call people to the altar unless you want to come. But if there's any reason you feel pressing in your heart that you would like to come down here, nobody needs to know why you have come. You can come because you believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And if you come, we'll pray with you here. But if you stay where you are, I'll pray for you just the same, because God knows your heart and he recognizes that you need a reconnection. I'm going to pray at this time. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven on high to live a sinless life on this earth, to be accused and be crucified, to bear the weight of our sins on Calvary's cross, who, Lord, was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose like he said he would, and is ascended to heaven and is waiting to come back for us. We pray this morning, Father, for each and every one of us in here, that, Lord, that you reconnect our lives with you wherever there have been a disconnection. We pray today, Lord, that you connect those who have never been connected. We pray, dear God, that today we will make all our wrongs right, and those with whom we have had disagreements and disputes which have separated us and have marred us, that we'll make them right. We pray for forgiveness of our sins, that you blot out our unrighteousness and sin's guilty stain, that, Father, we can see when our spiritual eyes are open after they've been washed with the eye salve from your throne of grace, that, Lord, you are with us and many are the helpers that we have. We thank you, Lord, for this rich blessing today, this encouragement, Lord, that we can be reconnected at the heart. And may someone, Lord, today who wants to give their heart to you but is a bit worried about something out there, about what others may think, about what could happen to their livelihood, about what could happen to their jobs, let them recognize, Lord, that there's no greater, no better thing in the world to do than to serve you and to give their life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.